This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. We're hearing about lots of whether there are interceptions or not. I don't know. First of all, are you okay?
Boker Tov, I hope you can hear me live from my bomb shelter, along with members of my family and some of our neighbors. We are sheltered at the moment. We entered the bomb shelters a few minutes ago. Lots and lots of explosions being heard outside. I'm not quite sure whether that means they are interceptions. I think so, probably from the sound of things, or whether there in fact are any missiles that have fallen. But I hope that we might get some updates during the course of our chat. But certainly at the moment, we are back in the bomb shelters, having been in the shelter already last night, just after midnight, and then again at around 3 o'clock this morning. So I was just actually wondering to myself whether sleep deprivation is a valid war tactic, or whether that's considered to be unsportsmanlike behavior.
Yeah, well, it's almost like, is it equivalent to attacking the TV station in Iran? I don't know. But, Anthony, what's strange about this one is there's normally a little bit of a heads up that this is on its way. Did you get a heads up 10 minutes before?
So on this morning, I did get a heads up. It wasn't quite 10 minutes, but we did get a heads up. Last night, when we were here at around 3 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, there was no heads up, just simply a siren. And one of the explanations that I've seen that has been offered is because the number of missiles that are being fired has reduced significantly. And in fact, in the two barrages that we received during the course of the night, we were told that there were less than 10 missiles that were fired towards Israel. In fact, in those two barrages, there was no damage caused. One missile is reported to have fallen in an open area in the Negev, but no damage or injuries have been caused, which is different from what we've been experiencing in the past few evenings. And to be honest, I didn't hear the sort of explosions outside that I've just heard a few moments ago. So this time around, even though I don't know exactly how many missiles have been fired, but it seems as if there are a few more than what we experienced in the night. And interestingly, we also got a heads up at around 9 o'clock last night, which never materialized. So we were all kind of waiting for the siren to come about. It never materialized. One of the reports suggested that the missiles might have been hit by the Israeli Air Force on their launch pad. So we got a heads up when they saw the missiles being prepared for launch. And that they never, ever got launched because they were actually hit by the Air Force even before they were managed to launch. I'm not sure whether that is accurate or not, but that's certainly one of the stories, one of the explanations that was offered. So there are times when we get a heads up and nothing materializes. Last night, we didn't get a heads up and we were running to the shelter at 3:30 in the morning. This morning now, this current wave that we're experiencing at this moment, we did get a heads up and there are certainly some explosions outside.
Yeah, and we're seeing that. Mavis, thank you for sending that. Mavis says she's in Beit Shemesh. They got the heads up. They didn't get sirens, but she is hearing loud booms. We're getting messages from Modi'in, Beit Shemesh, Ranana, all over. It does seem to be quite a large-ish area where people are hearing the explosions, but we'll, I guess, wait to see and get more detailed responses in the next short while. So let's talk about what is going on. What is now the latest with what is, and I find this interesting is because we're hearing a lot and we've focused quite a lot on what is happening within Israel. What do we know about what is happening and what Israel has achieved in Iran?
Well, we're being told that something of an aerial highway has been opened in the airspace between Israel and Iran, which means that Israeli planes are free to fly without threat from Israel all the way to Iran, even towards the eastern parts of Iran, quite freely. We are told that Israeli Air Force is maintaining a constant presence in the air above Tehran, whether it's F-15, F-16 fighters, F-35 stealth fighters, or indeed Israeli drones that have been doing a massive, massive job for us in terms of collecting intelligence, as well as drones that have been used to eliminate targets in Iran, because some of those drones do carry weapons. So there is now a constant aerial presence in the air, in the skies above Tehran. We, I'm sure, all saw that great video which showed the strike on the Iranian state TV building, which I think was something of a symbol to Iranians, and I think created some level of panic amongst people in Iran when you see in the middle of a live broadcast, suddenly a missile hit the building and the anchor, having to run for her life. We are told that if you had to keep the camera rolling after that, and many of us didn't see what happened after that, but apparently she did return to continue the broadcast. So that's considered to be something of a victory, in Iranian terms. But it seems to me that there is little doubt that the Iranian regime has been substantially weakened. We are told that people are fleeing to Tehran, and I'm not quite sure exactly where they're running to, but that the traffic out of Tehran was already quite heavy even before President Trump suggested that people need to leave Tehran
Right.
before he left
Sorry,
the
Anthony,
G7 summit.
just to interrupt you for 1 second, there was a falling in Herzliya. There was a hit in Herzliya, but we'll obviously find out as we get more information. Sorry, carry on then, Anthony.
I see the direct hit in Herzliya as
Yes, there
well.
we go.
We do know that the area around Herzliya is a potential target, Ramat HaSharon and Herzliya, because that is the location where Israel's the IDF intelligence unit is based. We also know that the Mossad building is somewhere around there. This is not secret information that I'm sending out that people don't know about, because it's relatively well published and well understood that those are those locations, and very frequently Herzliya is a targeted location. So as soon as we get a little bit more information about that, then I'll try to update you. But as I was saying, that what's happening in Iran, it seems quite clear to me, at least, that the regime has been substantially weakened. The military capabilities have been weakened. The population is frightened at the moment. People are fleeing the capital, and there is a lot more to come. We've seen, the hits against military targets, against civilian targets, again, not civilian, but regime targets. So the state TV, for example, it should be emphasized that Avichai Adrahi, who is Israel's famous Arabic correspondent and representative from the press office, and he's the one who issues evacuation warnings. Well, Tehran joined that elite club of cities, areas that have been advised to evacuate, because Avichai yesterday advised a very well-to-do neighborhood in Tehran that they needed to evacuate. That was before the state TV building was hit, because that's where the state TV building is located. And one cannot accuse Israel of not thinking about the civilians in the local area, because they were all asked to evacuate that neighborhood before Israel attacked the state TV building. So the citizens of Tehran are experiencing evacuation notices. They've been told to clear out of certain areas. There is targeting, again, not only against military and economic locations, the oil refineries, the military targets, military bases, but of course against nuclear facilities. We are told that almost all the centrifuges in the main uranium enrichment site have been at least damaged, whether that's by a direct hit or whether potentially against a hit against the electricity supply. And once the electricity is taken down, those centrifuges potentially self-destruct because of the fact that they don't have the electricity that they need to keep them running. So there is a certain speculation that there's been substantial hits. But of course, the Iranian regime continued to put up a very brave face and present themselves full of bravado about the fact that Israel will be destroyed and about the Iranian people will ultimately triumph. I agree that the Iranian people will ultimately triumph, but it's unlikely to be under this particular regime. The whole discussion about regime change has occupied a lot of space, and Israel doesn't currently state as its objectives the idea of regime change. Israel's objective is to destroy the nuclear program. There is a lot of speculation about whether the US might become involved in the coming days.
We saw that Trump left G7 and there is something big going on, he said. Is there any idea of what that could be?
Well, some people are connecting it to the damage that was inflicted upon the US embassy in Tel Aviv in the early hours of yesterday morning. I don't think that that is enough to draw the US into this conflict, even though there was a threat issued by the US administration that if any hair on an American citizen is put out of place by the Iranians, then they should expect the wrath of America to rain down on them. I'm not sure that the damage to the US embassy yesterday is enough to warrant that. But I just wonder privately, and I've not seen this mentioned anywhere, I just wonder whether Israel might not be responsible for taking out the nuclear program and weakening the regime and targeting some of the economic targets and military targets as we've been doing up until now. But the actual work of regime change, the actual moment that causes the Ayatollah regime to fall, might well be something that the Americans want to do rather than leaving it to Israel. And by the way, Israel may prefer the Americans to do it rather than be responsible. It was interesting that in a press conference last night, Prime Minister Netanyahu was asked about the possibility of targeting Khamenei. He did refer to the fall of the Assad regime in Syria and saying nobody expected that to happen and nobody expected it to happen as quickly as it did. I just wondered why he chose to bring the example of the fall of the Assad regime forward at that moment. But clearly there is something on the mind of those who are running this war about potentially bringing down the Ayatollah regime. And I think, this is just my personal view, and again, I haven't seen this mentioned anywhere, but I think that that job may be left to the Americans rather than the Israelis to do.
I guess it's all just speculation, and we just have to wait to see.
We did hear that there's quite a large fleet of U.S. A military aircraft that right. left the shores of the U.S. during the course of yesterday. Most of them seem to be refueling and transport aircraft, but I'm guessing that there were a few fighter aircraft amongst them. Mm. We know that the U.S. already has a fair stock of weaponry in their base in Diego Garcia, which is probably the base that they would use, or potentially the one in Qatar, if they were to get involved in this war. But it was quite unusual, I would say, or quite noticeable that such a large fleet of US military aircraft decided to leave pretty much around the same time from different bases in the US, all heading in the same direction. We can all reach our own conclusions from that, right?
Absolutely. Before I let you go, Gaza, what is the latest there?
So, unfortunately, I mean, first of all, I should say that the war in Gaza continues, and that we shouldn't think for a moment that because we are undertaking this operation against the Iranians, that the war in Gaza or the war against the Houthis in Yemen doesn't continue, because it is absolutely continuing. And unfortunately, with our troops on the ground in Gaza, it also means risk to our soldiers. And in this particular case, unfortunately, also loss of life. Two IDF soldiers were killed yesterday in an explosion in Gaza. We understand that the vehicle that they were traveling in was hit by an explosive device, which was fired by terrorists in Gaza. It injured another three IDF soldiers. We're talking about soldiers who are from the Golani Brigade who were involved in this. And so, of course, again, as much as we are fighting on the home front to try to protect ourselves, running to our bomb shelters, trying to protect our own lives, our hearts are very much broken by the loss of life in Gaza and the fact that our soldiers continue to be in danger. And of course, we still think about our hostages who remain incarcerated in Gaza, day 620 of their incarceration in Gaza. And this is just something which is just inconceivable to us.
That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, stay safe, and we'll catch you tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.